tradition.
Great. Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you. Thank you very much for coming to hear about our results for the last 6 months, but also about the future and what we're building here. I'm joined, as always, by Adrian Marsh, our Finance Director. We'll be running through a presentation, and then we have plenty of time afterwards for questions. And in the in this presentation, we're going to talk about three things. One is about our results, how we've done over the 6 months. Secondly, about our ambition. Now, absolute consistent ambition to further drive our leadership position in recycled packaging. And thirdly, about how are we going to get there? What are we doing that's going to bring that leadership position out? So, last 6 months. Overall, progress across a wide number of measures has been good. There's momentum in the business. This is another set of strong results. We've gained market share again. We have further differentiated our offer with our customers, adding more value to them. And that growth and that differentiation has further improved our financial results. A good set of underlying financial results. And during the 6 months, we've continued to acquire. We've acquired a number of businesses, and we're delighted with how they're going. And today we've also announced our intention to acquire into Istanbul, Europe's largest city. And what a city it is. But we haven't just been acquiring, we've been rationalising our existing assets. And we've also, in the 6 months, announced the closure of the Wandsborough paper mill, reducing our exposure to these very cyclical paper markets. The acquisitions are performing well. We're pleased. So a good set of results, a good improvement in our asset base, and momentum in the business with plenty of opportunities to go for. So what are those results? Firstly, volume on a like-for-like basis up 3.1%. Our return on sales at 9.4%. That is double where we were when we first started talking about this. That's up another 50 basis points from last year. And you know how we look at the balance sheet. The return on capital with the acquisitions has improved by 110 basis points to 15% before tax. The cash flow's good, so the balance sheet is strong. The net debt to EBITDA below our 2x target at 1.9x. And at constant currency, our results before restructuring up 13% across the group. Adrian, let's take this in more detail.
Thank you, Miles, and good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be presenting the first set of results following our recent acquisitions. The strengthening of our group following Durapac, Lentero and Cartonpack has by no means diminished the efforts being made in our underlying businesses, and we can report progress, again, made on all fronts. In order to explain what's been happening in the business, I will, as usual, be talking about the constant currency changes as I go through the presentation. Let me start with the five financial key performance indicators, which are our medium-term targets. As you can see, we've continued to deliver on all metrics this period. Volume growth has been comfortably ahead of our GDP plus one target, which we calculate to be 2.8%. Our volume is also well ahead of the corrugated market, which grew 2.2%. Return on sales increased by 50 basis points to 9.4%. You'll remember that at the full year results in June this year, we increased the target from 7 to 9% to 8 to 10%. This improvement represents a good step forward towards achieving our new medium-term goal. ROACE improved 110 basis points, reflecting the benefit of increased profitability and also continued focus on our capital base. As a reminder, this is calculated on average capital employed each and every month. Cash conversion has come in at 126% due to our good cash flow and for further working capital inflow, albeit as we anticipated at a slower rate than we closed last year. Lastly, our gearing ratio of 1.9 times still remains within our target of being at or under 2 times covered, despite the acquisitions undertaken in the period, and I'll talk through that a little later. Here are our financial headlines. Revenues up 6% and operating profit up 12%. I'll take you through the usual bridges for these key line items in a moment. The result of this rise in operating profit is the increase in return on sales by 50 basis points. Earnings per share is up 13% in line with profit growth. Dividend per share is up 8% in line with reported EPS growth, which is where you can see the impact of FX translation on our results. Return on average capital employed is also up as I described before. The overall picture for revenue is one of growth from underlying operations, complemented by our recent acquisitions and partially offset by FX translation and further integration of our paper operations. Going into a bit more detail, you can see that FX translation has a big effect, over 6% reduction in the period. That's due to around 2/3 of our profits being earned in euros. There's a usual slide at the back of the packs to help you assess this translational impact. You can see the benefit of the businesses acquired in the period in the £101 million uplift. That relates to 5 months of Durapac and 3 months of Lantero, 6 months of Andopac, and just a month of Cartonpac. And Andopac, as a reminder, was bought 12 months ago. There's an aggregate £54 million uplift from organic price, mix and volume growth. The £40 million reduction from other volume comes from choices made around the balance of production and integration of our paper mills and recycling businesses within our total supply chain. Turning to profit, you can see how the growth of the business is driving our margins and returns. We've just spoken about the FX translation effect in acquisitions, which you can see followed through here. Organic profit growth is up 7%, showing the benefit of the drop through of sales and volume, while the lost volume had a minimal impact. About midway through the period, there was a rise in paper prices, which is not unusual, and we've already significantly recovered. As you know, the business deals with both positive and negative rises in paper prices by well-established pass-through mechanisms, and in any reporting period, this can either be a benefit or a penalty, depending on how close to the reporting date the change occurred. Margins have improved across the group as a whole by 50 basis points, the largest single improvement of which has been in plastics, where the benefit of the restructuring that we've been undertaking for the last 18 months is showing benefits. Looking across the businesses more generally and recognising the dilutive effect which a new acquisition would normally have, then we can be pleased with the continued progress. Western Europe reflects our existing French business and newly acquired Iberian businesses, which we can expect margins here to improve as we further integrate them into the group. Turning to cash flow, we remain focused on tight cash and capital management, and our results show this, with average monthly working capital to sales at an all-time low of 1.5%. This focus remains critical, especially given our recent expenditure on acquisitions. As I noted earlier, despite these acquisitions, our leverage is still under our target range of 1.9 times. Taking our starting point last year, we have the significant benefit of free cash flow. Cash exceptional costs were less than the P&L charge, predominantly as there's a larger non-cash impairment from the closure of Wandsborough Mill. The acquisitions and disposal expenditure cost is the net of the acquisition of Durapac, Lantera and Cartonpack and the disposal of Stepak, including cash paid and debt assumed. Dividend is clearly an important component of our return to shareholders, and with an interim dividend of around £35 million, the total to be paid out this year will be over £100 million. The only area where we benefit somewhat from a weaker euro is from matching the currency of our debt obligations to cash flow, and this result has been included in the £5 million benefit. During the year, we utilised our investment-grade credit rating to issue a debut Eurobond with a maturity of 7 years and a coupon of 2.25%. This is the usual guidance slide. I'm not going to talk through each line as you can read the figures. This guidance includes all businesses acquired to date. The majority of these are the same as at our full year results in June, with an update to the exceptional charge now that the decision has been made on the future of our ones for paper mill. Our dividend is a key measure of our returns to shareholders. Today we've announced an interim dividend of 4p, consistent with our progressive dividend policy. So to conclude, although this has been another period of volatility and downward pressure in various economies in Europe, we have continued to drive up margins and returns across the business. And at the same time, we started the integration of our newly acquired businesses, which have expanded our pan-European presence and strengthened our business model, which is designed to deliver sustainable returns to our shareholders each and every year. I'm now going to hand back to Miles, who's going to talk a little bit more about how our actions in the period have contributed to our increasing margin and will help it to grow further over the coming years.
Thank you. Thank you, Adrian. I said at the start, we'll talk about three things. One, about the results and the good progress you're making off a wide front. Secondly, about our ambition to further drive our leadership position, further drive the differentiation of our offering, and further drive our financial returns. 6-8 weeks ago, we had a capital markets day. Nestle came to that presentation. And many of you who are there would have heard them talk about the absolute uniqueness and the value that they put behind our offer. We're delighted to receive that kind of feedback and the confidence that they have to come and talk to our investors about our business. So their differentiation. Easy words, but difficult to do. Really understanding our customers' demands. Demands for the right packaging, no matter what the retail outlet is. Develop the solutions, unique value-adding solutions, and be able to supply that consistently across all of their factories. Differentiated, implemented at pace and scale will drive our financial returns. So firstly, about the geographic footprint. Everybody knows how we have expanded over the last years up until April 2015. But over the last 6 months, we've made significant further progress. There's nobody that comes near our coverage, covering so many parts of Europe. There's nobody else. We said 6 months ago the opportunities were there. These are some of them, but the pipeline remains strong. At the Capital Markets Day, we discussed our acquisition in Spain and Southeast Europe at some length, a detailed presentation, and really about the exciting returns that are available. Turning to the acquisition we announced in Greece, very recently completed. This acquisition, 80 million of turnover, is virtually all in FMCG. Very high exposure to the food and drink market, it's been remarkably resilient when you think of the economic conditions there. Its volumes have remained very consistent, as has its profitability. It is the market leader by some way. We have excellent synergies with our business, and we're confident, in line with the with Southeast Europe, Europac and Lentero, post-synergy, it will provide a multiple of between 5 and 6 times EBITDA to purchase price. But it's not just about being bigger. You've got to be bigger and much, much better. Anybody can be big. But are you really setting the standards of leadership in the industry that our customers are so keen and want to see developed? So for us, it's not just a financial play with a few synergies sprinkled at the sides. It's how you build a stronger business. So when we acquire, we fully integrate to ensure we can support our customers consistently and drive those synergies. But it does require an alignment of the way we work, the way people communicate and work with each other, so you can bring out a better, stronger business, not just a bigger business. And it's been very successful. Our communication, the training, the support starts to reinforce itself. And this has allowed us to significantly improve our health and safety score. Significantly. Over the last few years since we started reporting this, we've improved it by over 80%. We have one of the best measures of any company in Europe. Our carbon disclosure, our carbon footprint. Again, it's allowed us to significantly increase it. So now that we are at the level of many of our leading customers, those are the people that we reference ourselves from to. And with our customer, the customer satisfaction scores that has allowed us to build revenue synergies out of the acquisition. So there's a strong track record. So we're seen as the consolidator of choice in Europe, a market where we only have 16% share. So this has led to an announcement today for the acquisition, the intended acquisition. There are a few regulatory issues we have to go through, but we're confident they will be achieved. Of buying a high-quality business, which is virtually all FMCG. High-quality assets focused at the about displaying the point of sale. Istanbul, next door to our Greek business. Istanbul, Europe's largest city. 20 million people with a projection of 40 million people in the next 15 years. That's more than the population of Poland today. Good synergies, good assets, strong customer support. We think the returns are going to be very attractive. And how do we make the business continue to make it better? The scale that we're getting from our large footprint gives us the confidence to have raised our return on sales target to 10%. The ongoing benefits are being liberated from the company. In operations, the ability to compare and contrast and develop real best practice, learning across the organisation, absolutely tremendous. And sourcing, you know, one of the largest sources of many raw materials and paper. We are very, very large, we have a very large requirement, and on many of these we're choosing our own specifications, and now we're starting to source globally. I think that'll have a major effect on our profitability. And with our pan-European customers, the large ones, the group grew at 3.1%, we grew at 7% with our largest customers last year, continuing the strong trend over a number of years. And innovation, the impact centres, they'll be rolled out into the new territories, and we're picking up the areas of best practice that they have as well. So that innovation, so we've got the scale, we're building the geographic footprint around the innovation and the technology. Understanding our customers' requirements to improve the rate of sale. It's not just about the box. We share in the uplift in our customers' rate of sale, in their profitability. From helping at the point of sale, things like a sales front, which you demonstrate at length at the Capital Markets Day. Absolutely tremendous effect on our customers' like-for-like sales. Our manufacturing systems, being installed not just in Europe, but in other jurisdictions as well. Very pleased with the progress that many of our large customers are doing with our machine systems across the US, following that licensing agreement with Westrock, and into Japan following our licensing agreement with Rengo. We're very pleased there. And then how we protect the product for our customers. Protect the product by having the right technology, protect the product during transportation, particularly as you move into some new areas where the transportation system is can be a little bit more challenging. So the product arrives in perfect condition to reduce the rate of return of damage and rate of return. More sales at a lower total cost, managing the risk. But how do we look with these acquisitions? We have the benefit of bringing in Lantero, Greece and Turkey, which are virtually all FMCG, plus our ongoing organic growth in FMCG, has now grown the proportion of our sales up from the sort of 62-63% up to 68%. We've always said that what we're after is consistency of demand to drive the asset utilisation, the asset turnover, to support our return on capital. The demand in the FMCG sector is known to many of you. It's been absolutely tremendous. But there are other sectors that are coming out, and we highlight one here. Following the acquisition of Southeast Europe, it's given us a great exposure to consumables, to consumer semi-durables, hair dryers, televisions, toasters, irons, spare parts for cars. These sectors are displaying the sort of cyclicality or the low cyclicality that we're very interested in. They now represent 10% of our box volumes, and it's an area that we'll be giving increasing focus to. So today, our resilient part of the business is at 78%, and we think we can grow that very nicely. How have we grown? We have the like-for-like box volume growth in the last 6 months. 3.1%. Most of the acquisitions we brought in weren't performing anywhere near we were. So we've had an initial headwind in the like-for-likes as they've been brought in, but they're now all producing strongly positively from that customer reaction. And our 3.1 uplift this year compares to 3.1 in the full year last year, but 2.3% in the first half of last year. So again, good confidence in our end demand. So in summary, the results. We're pleased with the results, and they've delivered across many factors, across many measures. But there's good momentum being built into the company. The customer response to us, which you've seen in the volumes, is because of that differentiation we're offering. The business is being improved, reducing our exposure to more cyclical assets, such as the ones per mill, and increasing our focus in the packaging sector in new regions where we can bring our technology. And the opportunities for us going forward remain very healthy. And this is all backed by our customers. Thank you. We're now very happy to take any questions that that people have.
Thank you. Good morning. It's Alex Mees here from JP Morgan Cazenove. Two questions. Firstly, on plastics, quite a significant increase in the margins. It was expected, you did flag it, but I wonder if you could give us some colour as to what you've done to improve the margins so much and whether you see any further upside. And then secondly, I wonder if you can give us any more colour on the M&A pipeline if you continue to be busy in that respect.
Don't do plastics, yeah. Do the M&A.
Yeah, we talked this time last year, as you obviously remember, Alex, on the restructuring charge that we're putting through on plastics. We basically moved manufacturing from the UK, so we shut down our UK operations and set up pretty much from scratch new plants in Eastern Europe. Now, inevitably, with that, there's a transformation of the business and you have to do things differently, and there's a process of ramp up. Clearly, once you are fully through that cycle, you get the benefit of the more efficiencies that you're going to get through a new production facility in any case. One has also got the better efficiencies from the fact that these are in markets where it's a more balanced cost base for the rest of Europe compared to the established businesses that we had in the UK. And it's, you know, they're much closer to where our customers are. I think what we've seen so far is a very good improvement dropping through on the cost base. We've seen a decent margin return. We still think, and the business is heavily challenged and tasked, to deliver further on that. We want to see more on the sales line, and that will follow as we build out that business. And we want to see better on the cost line because we're still lapping some of the startup issues that you never be always have. But, yeah, you're right. It's a good margin improvement. We're happy with it, but we're not satisfied.
That's absolutely right. And with M&A, you can obviously see the success. I think the important thing here is we're seen as a preferred partner. These acquisitions, we have very good access to the business, and it is about making a stronger business afterwards. And I think that's recognised in the market. It's a last thing is quite an uplifting experience for everybody who comes in, and because of that, the pipeline's good. If we look at the recent acquisition in Istanbul, the people who've recently acquired have been a big part of that. Our customers have actually been a big part of it. Mm. They're the ones that that came and want us there, and in some ways, helped in the first meetings. So we feel confident about that. The teams that we use for integration, you've seen the effect they've had on many areas. It's quite a process now. And we are 16% of Europe. Now, in some markets where we are kind of clearing away the market leader with some big shares, it's more difficult. But there's still a lot to go for. There's some more in the east. There's some more in the central areas of Germany and northern Italy. And we also have some opportunities in Iberia as well, following our 10% market share that we've built over the last over the last year. So it's focused on Europe, and I'm encouraged with possibilities. You never know for certain, but we're encouraged by the possibilities there.
And we said a year ago these things take a long time. We said 2 years ago they take a long time, and they do. You run through the process, and the important thing is that there is a pipeline. We've got a very professional M&A team we've brought in over the last couple of years. Yeah, and it's a real focus of the business now, and the inbound inquiries is phenomenal. Yeah.
Barry Dixon from Davy. Two questions, if I could. First, on pricing environment on corrugated, in the bridge, 14 million positive impact on pricing mix. Just give us some sense of how corrugated prices have moved in recent months and whether you expect to be able to fully recover the increase in containerboard prices as well as the next in the industry over the summer. The second question, I suppose, relates to the M&A activity. And just looking through the balance sheet of the 250 million sterling of acquisitions, roughly 100, just over 100 million of that is in goodwill or intangible. You might just even have us understand what makes up that goodwill and how we should think about that in terms of the balance sheet and also in terms of return. Mm-hmm. And then finally, just in terms of the bridge, going back to the bridge, with a 40 million other volume negative in the period, and I know in the statement you talk about the lower external recycling sales and greater integration of paper and packaging within the group. You might just maybe help us understand that a little bit more, given your strategy of being more downstream and less backward integrated into paper. Should we read this as a change
in
strategy, or is it just
So if you're happy, Barry, I'll take the pricing, and Adrian will take you through the M&A and the volume variance as well. So generally, in pricing, if we just think of the end markets, the consumer, we all know the pressure that is there. So if you've heard us say many times, it's not just a question of going out and increasing prices. You've had a 5 euro increase and you go to your customer and say, well, I'm just going to pass it on to you. Then I think in the environment, I think you have to be a little bit, you have to add more value. We've talked previously about all of our performance packaging. Again, using Nestlé's words, it's moved them further forward in the last 2 years than they've moved in the previous 30. It's absolutely unique. So we are confident that with increases where necessary and the introduction of the added value approach about lightweighting, because we aren't so integrated, we just buy a different grade of paper. We haven't got to worry that we've got a lot of stuff sort of further upstream that's got to be kept busy. And because of that sourcing, we can source it globally now. So we think we absolutely will recover any cost that comes up to us. But it is a volatile market. You're absolutely right, Barry. There was an announced price increase. One of them went through, and the other one didn't. And who knows what's going to happen in the future. But that's what gives us the confidence in terms of our outlook. I think it's a very uncertain environments on paper.
In terms of the balance sheet, you're absolutely right. It's an arithmetic calculation. Clearly, when you buy a business, you buy a set of fixed assets, and those fixed assets will have a value, and you will attach a fair value to those. And the difference between what you pay and what the book value of those assets are, or the fair value of those assets are, goes to balance sheet at goodwill, both of which appear in our return on capital. So it doesn't change how returns appear. It's just an accounting, it's clearly just an accounting split of the difference between the multiple of cash flow versus the asset value. So we can go in, well, you'll see when we do pull together the annual report, there'll be much more detail on that. But I mean, it's an accounting exercise, and you go through it with third-party valuers and then clearly your auditors, but it's in the returns calculation. In terms of integration, it's not a change in strategy at all. What I think has happened more in the last couple of years, certainly since the SCA acquisition, is looking to better optimise the mill footprint that we've got. So getting our paper mills to make high-quality, lightweight papers that we use, as opposed to purely having capacity that it puts onto the market. Where we have capacity that doesn't fit with our criteria, and isn't useful within the business, and classically it's not making a particularly good return, we look at either disposal, as you saw 6 months ago with Nantes, more than 6 months ago now with the Nantes paper mill in France, and with Wandsborough now. And it's, you know, it's an unfortunate process to have to close the mill, but we've been through, we've looked at the returns, and unfortunately there's no sustainable business model. I mean, energy costs are high in the UK, something like twice everywhere else in Europe. I mean, they are pretty much the double of Europe. We can benchmark all of our cost bases. We can't integrate ones where it's not making sufficient of the papers that we will use, so therefore it's not getting a fair return in the market. It's difficult to sit within the portfolio. So when we talk about integration, it's simply using more of what we have where we can. And clearly there's a benefit in doing so, and it does impact your external sales. Likewise, with fibre and OCC, our recycling business now has a really strong European presence. It's built that over a period of time. Historically, I mean, it's only in the last 3 years, a lot of the business, when it was being built up, was traded externally simply to build the presence. Now we optimize our fibre platform internally. So again, you're seeing a reduction in internal sales of recyclate, which is pretty limited margin, but it's being utilized within our business, which we think strengthens our model and gives us a good differentiator in that paper manufacturing side. So where we have internal supply, we want it to be as efficient as it can, making the best quality material it can for use within our business. And where we're long on the raw material, we're wanting to optimize that as far as we can through our own fiber platform.
Questions? We'll come with you in a minute,
Hector. Hi, Tom Burton from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. I had a couple of questions, please. The first one relating to one of the comments in the statement about the competitive retail environment in the UK. If you just offer a bit more detail around that, if you're seeing different sort of behaviour from your customers or increased pushback on pricing. And then the second one, just a bit further on, the outlook for input costs that you mentioned, specifically on energy and then on OCC, which, having been stable for a period of time, is now moving, well, has moved quite sort of quickly in each direction, and what how you're thinking about that sort of going
that
forward.
That answers your question on our outlook. Do you want me to do the second and you do the first?
Yeah.
So we are facing a very dynamic retail outfit, and the UK tends to be a proxy for what will happen elsewhere in Europe. You can actually look to some other markets further away in places like South Korea, Japan, etc., and they can also give you a number of leads, and indeed we do look at all of that. Because a large part of us in our offer to our customers is about the shopping insight. Where are people going to be buying? How are they going to be shopping? So to provide the solutions for our customers. We quite like that because other people can't do it. Is it going to be discount? Is it going to be convenience? Is it going to be online? I mean, our online sales are growing very, very substantially. And there is, as you change the mix, we're adding more and more value. And you can see that the overall returns that we're getting are improving. So we like that. We think it's going to continue. We think we'll see the rest of Europe respond in due course. And we're comfortable that we can add real value to that. It's a very, very dynamic market. This sudden growth on online is, this Christmas is really very exciting. Very exciting. Everybody's buying their presents in a box, and we rather like that.
Yeah, e-commerce. In terms of input costs, I mean, I think you almost answered the question yourself. I mean, it's very hard to predict what happens going forward. And in any period, you get, unfortunately, where you can get significant benefits, you get significant costs as well. So and ups and downs can be relatively material when you deal with it. Certainly on fibre, you're right, there was an increase
through the period. As it's turned out, the average increase over the period isn't as high as it could have been at one point. But fibre and the way it operates is heavily, I mean, it probably is a very global commodity now. So you'll see, if you look at the East Coast of the US, so depending what happens, the East Coast price will go up as China takes East Coast volume. If it doesn't take East Coast, it comes to the UK. The UK seems expensive, it comes to Europe. So it's very hard to predict. Reason why having a fibre platform now, which we've got, is so important to us, because it allows us, you know, not to arbitrage the market, but at least to manage as much as we can the sensitivity. So where we have changed in input costs, the thing that impresses me most about DS Smith is how people respond to it internally. So we saw on fibre, when we saw prices going up, all of a sudden there's even more energy around, energy as in effort, around how we can optimise our use of mixed papers in the mix. So what is it that we can do to extract better fibre, quicker, cheaper? Mm-hmm. How can we be less dependent on the price? We have had a benefit in energy. We also sell energy as well, so the benefit is always less than you might imagine. Likewise, we have hedging of energy, so that the impacts are softened one way or the other. But another good example on, you know, how things can move, we've had an increase in, just recently, starch prices have been pushed up about 5% at the moment, in terms of, doesn't mean we've accepted it, but that's where the market is going. So the energy in DS Smith is around how to manage our uses of starch and what can we do differently. Having, in one of Miles' slides you would have seen, we describe our global procurement platform. Having the scale and the reach now really gives us opportunities to look around globally on what we can do to optimise our input costs as much as we can. And you will get big moves up and down in a period. And the trick that we, and the challenge we have, and the way I think our business is executed, is managing that in order to be able to deliver sustainable returns. It doesn't mean it's easy, and it doesn't mean it's not, you know, hourly focus within the business in a lot of areas, because it is.
It's very, it's like that global sourcing, what we buy, it's very exciting here. Very exciting. There's nobody else doing it.
Perfect, thank you. And if I could just follow up just one last on the final input cost, that's on the virgin containerboard side, which you're short of, the outlook for pricing there.
Yeah, it's interesting. With Kraft, we've seen what's happened in Europe, but of course across the world it's rather a different position. And obviously we're in a very, very, we buy a lot. And prices have gone up, but there is excess capacity quite considerably. We've seen some announcements in other markets about closures into those markets and see what opportunities that gives us. So let's see what happens. We feel in quite a good position.
Perfect, thank you.
Hector's arm's getting...
Very, very patient. Hector Forsyth from Stifel. First one for you, Miles. You used to refer to the closed loop as part of your strategic narrative. I haven't heard that for a while.
Of course, we've got so much else to talk about. That's the issue. We focus on recycled packaging. That's what we are. We have grown our fibre sourcing, recycling, quite significantly. We have made a number of acquisitions on the continent, and we're by far Europe's largest collector and recycler. It is very important to our customers, and increasingly important. It's one of the reasons why our one of the areas of adding value to them in terms of the carbon footprint. So we do a lot of carbon footprint work for big retailers and for our customers. It remains central to our business. And as we've closed out paper capacity, been increasing the recycling capacity, fundamentally Europe needs to use more of what is already used. You can see where things like the euro are. It has to use what it already does. And we're very pleased, not only with our position, but in some of the technologies that we're also developing to extract fibre from sources that previously haven't been available to us, or indeed anybody. And that's a scenario putting a quite a considerable amount of work. So it has to excuse us. We will bring it. We will bring it back. But it's just too much else to talk about.
If you follow us on Twitter, Hector, you'll see regular closed loop messaging coming through.
Okay. In terms of the MA pipeline, then, is recycling in that?
It is. It absolutely is.
Cool.
You understand the actual businesses are more modest in their size. The returns are very attractive, but it is just more modest.
And with Turkey on board, where will you be in terms of own production versus consumption?
Yeah, we brought in the with the Southeast Europe. We have brought in two paper mills there. So at the moment, we're around about that sort of 60% integration level. Obviously, you have to we'll just recut everything with, but we're around that 60 level, as we have the best practices allowed us to get more out of the paper assets. So actually, the production is up, but we've grown our packaging business very very considerably. So we are around that 60% at the moment.
Okay, a couple of quick ones for Adrian then. Working capital sales, fantastic ratio. Is that sustainable down there? And then on the exceptionals, they've ticked up. I knew it was coming, but they've ticked up a little bit. You've just added the Wainsborough 30 on top of what the guidance was previously.
Yeah.
Has there been any change in the mix, and is there any further visibility through beyond the period end, et cetera, for additional exceptionals?
Okay, so I'll come on to that. I'm guessing that was coming, Hector. The, on the working capital to sales ratio, we think it is sustainable. I mean, what we've done consistently over the last few periods now is to focus the business on it on a monthly basis. So that's why we're getting the averages down. So historically, and you're seeing a lot of companies in any industry, you get the classic dive for the line and everyone, you know, working capital, hey presto, in the last month of the year is brilliant, and then the first month of the next period it's not so good again. For us, it's about ingraining it within the business. So we have, Miles and I have a trading meeting every month with all of our divisions. It's high on the agenda. We have a separate meeting that looks at once a month again on where we are in terms of our overall supply chain. And inventory is a huge part of that, and it gets monthly focus. When we acquire a new business, so I think if you look at the absolute numbers on our balance sheet, your working capital is absolute. It's gone up, obviously, because we've made acquisitions. I think there's an opportunity there. That said, you know, maintaining at this level, you know, it won't be a cakewalk. I mean, it requires constant focus. You know, I think the moment you stop internally engaging management on it on a very, very routine basis, you know, they focus on something else. So we keep it there. It's when we buy a new business and we have an integration event and we describe to them, you know, what our values are, which Miles went through, and we talk about, as importantly, what our financial metrics are and why and how we measure them. The most important one for us, because most companies that we acquire have been starved of capital or they've not had a very thorough investment program for a number of years. So one of the real pleasures for them when they join us is actually, if you can manage your cash flow, if you can drive your working capital down, we will invest in the business still. And it's making those connections so people understand why cash is important within the business, because it is our currency of growth, both M&A and internally. In terms of exceptionals, well, obviously, we will go through you know, in detail again at the year end. In terms of the broad mix now, it's broadly as we said. So it was, the guidance was 40 ink duro plus 7 for Lantero, 47 plus 30 for Wandsborough, which we didn't describe, which obviously the cash element's a lot lower than that. So that's 77, and you've had 18 broadly in the period, plus Wandsborough 48. So that hasn't changed. Yeah, not lie to you, Hector. We haven't included anything for Carton Pack or Turkey in there. They're both small businesses. Do I expect it to materially change the number? No. But I haven't factored that in because we're only just going through it now. And if there's another big acquisition, you know, I mean, we'll describe something different, I'm sure. But if you want some more colour, Rachel can pick it up offline.
Okay. Thank you very much.
One last question.
Cole Hawthorne from Jefferies. Just could you give a bit more colour on your strong organic volume growth in Western Europe, particularly France and Iberia? Mm. Secondly, on the synergies from Durapac, are you still comfortable with the 15 million? And then on pricing environment, I know you described 14 million benefit from price and mixes. Can we think about that as kind of a 1% box price increase with hopefully further to come, because it's about a third of the volume.
Yeah, the couldn't you say the first part of your three questions again, Chair? I've written so I can't read it.
The first part on Western Europe for strong organic volume growth.
Absolutely, apologies, it says growth. Yeah, Western Europe. So our Western European business incorporates predominantly France. That business is heavily overweight in FMCG. It's about food and drink. The volumes in that market in our business have never gone down. We can trace it right back to the year 2000. So obviously the French economy has been in a very challenging position. On a like-for-like, on a six-month, it has never reduced. That shows the resilience in that business, but we have built that. That's what we talk about, food and drink. That resilience in volumes allows that return on capital to come out, the cash flow to allow us to invest and pay dividends, even though the markets are difficult. So in Western Europe, we've had a continuing growth in France. Actually, over the last 6 months, it has actually ticked up. In the food and drink, as we take more market share. We've got some quite nice innovation coming through, and the market's responded accordingly. Now, the other side of it is Spain. And during the period, it was a very modest Spanish element because we had there was only the Andopac acquisition. For the final part of the 6 months, we brought in the Lantero, the much larger acquisition. Lantero was negative. That's been losing a bit of share. In the first month, it was negative. Now it's strongly positive. Southeast Europe as well, it was been negative for a while. Now it's part of us. It's very nicely positive. So we have seen a sort of a slight reduction because of the incorporation of Spain, but it's absolutely going where we want to. Customers are coming. They want the offer that we have, and they simply can't get it from anybody else. Around the performance package, around understanding the customer, around understanding their total cost. So we are we're really very encouraged, and that gives us confidence for that market in what is, and I think this is probably likely to remain, in certainly the Eurozone, I think, but it remains it has for the last few years. It'll be challenging, but we, you know, we recognise that. Synergies?
Yeah, Durapac synergies, fine. I think you can be very confident about those. Again, when we make an acquisition, we go through a process, and then 90 days after the acquisition, all of the teams, so the acquired companies, we keep pretty much everyone in place, intact, our integration team working with them, go through a series of projects, we pull out a target, and they present back against that target, and that gives us confidence in the number that we'll declare. Clearly, it will come as no surprise that we stretched the target, so
so that we're looking always to what is it that we can do better. Is there any further imagination? And I have to say, I mean, Durapa and Nanterra, we had the first session on that the other day. It's been exceptional, the level of engagement, the enthusiasm behind it. I'm very confident about that number. And I think the last question was the can you extract everything to a 1% increase in box prices? And you know, clearly it's never going to be that simple, but if the question is, have box prices gone up yet? Yeah, they have. Is it 1%? Is it 2%? Is it 3%? You know, I don't think we can be precise.
I mean, we are absolutely comfortable that the increases that the headlines that are coming to us, that we can deal with that. I don't think it's just as straightforward as saying you had an increase and therefore it goes to that. Because those products are sold to the retailers. Imagine going to Rita and say, look, I've had an extra pound coming my way, so I'm going to give it to you. Now, what do you think they're going to say? So we'll get somebody else. It's about adding value. So we know that we can recover. We have always recovered the increases that are coming to us. But I think in the environment that has happened and will happen, we have to think broadly. That's exactly what we're doing. Our margins have gone up. Our return on capital has gone up, and Europe hasn't changed, and that's where we are for the in terms of our outlook.
Thank you. Just one last follow-up. You've taken out a lot of your craftliner in the business over the years. Could you just give us a guidance of how much craftliner tonnage you still use and where you're hoping that to go?
Absolutely. We, with the new acquisitions, we are using over 800,000 tonnes per annum of craft. We are the largest sourcer of craft paper in, because we have nothing internal, so we're the largest sourcer. And that's an area that we're looking very closely at. There have been some historic agreements, and they no longer apply. And we're looking at how we solve that that problem. So, but the reduction in craft, the light weighting, the use of the best paper, not old habits, is a very exciting area for our customers. Mm-hmm. And we're determined to exploit it. Great question.
Thank you.
Well, look, it's now just gone to 2:30. We've been here for an hour. I'd just like to say thank you very much, everybody, for your time. Seen the results, you know our ambition, and you know there's real momentum behind getting it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Please disconnect your lines. Thank you.